Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, as always, thanks for having me.
Tim, the Fed has just hiked rates again. It was 0.75% this time?
Yep.
So really, and you've just done the research before we went on air, never have we seen so many hikes so high so fast in history.
Well, we've seen something really unprecedented from another perspective as well. You know, I had a Fed model that shows me, going back in time, I've got interest rate data back into the 40s, and it shows me there's a phenomenon. I can't explain it, but it triggers the beginning of the end or the end of a rate hiking cycle. And when this happens, the most rate hikes we have ever seen, typically you may see one, you might see two, but you're at the end of the rate hiking cycle when this happens. And to paint that picture in people's minds, when I say the end of a rate hiking cycle, rates have been coming up, they've bottomed, they've been moving up, this phenomenon occurs, and it marks the end or the beginning of the end. In other words, no more than two rate hikes, and the cycle is peaked, and then rates turn down. Well, this time, that phenomenon occurred in February before the rate hiking cycle ever even began, before the first rate hike. And so that's an unusual occurrence. And then the other unusual occurrence is we've now seen six rate hikes, whereas before, like I said, one, two at the most. I think it was one occurrence with there being two. So this has been, they've really pushed, rates higher in a weak economy, you know. So this is a first in many, many, many respects.
Wasn't it a year ago they were still telling us this inflation thing was transitory, that it would just disappear on its own?
Yes, you take everything they say and invert it, and then you have the truth.
Sounds like a lot of politicians.
Well, tell me where I'm wrong. You take everything they say and invert it, and there's the truth.
Now, a lot of people, they say they're trying to fight inflation, but your theory is this isn't a money supply side inflation. This is being caused by a supply chain break or disruption where, you know, I can't get that furnace that I want, or I have to wait 6 months, and if you want it, you have to pay a premium. Isn't that the primary cause of this inflation? Isn't because of an overinflated financial system, or was it?
Well, as I see it, looking at, and I know this is deep, and it, like I said, I've covered it in some of the research letters, without getting in those weeds, I've pretty well proven that this is not monetary. I mean, people think it's monetary. The common thinking is that it's monetary because of money printing, et cetera, and I understand that's the natural response to it, or the natural inclination, the natural thing to believe, but it's not. I've proven that because we've seen the dollar, an unprecedented move with the dollar as commodity prices go up, and typically they move in the opposite direction. You know, so the weakening dollar is inflationary, and here we've had a dollar moving up with it. So as I'm looking at it, no, I think this has not been monetary. It has been supply chain driven. And so from that perspective, no amount of rate hikes in the world is going to fix the fact that you're not getting a good from or product, you know, from whatever source. So the rate hikes, like I said all along, I don't think the rate hikes aren't going to fix the inflationary problems that we currently have.
Now, of course, the U.S. is going into a midterm election. Everybody says my party has the solution to this. Do politicians actually have any solutions they can do to it? Or can they just work harder at making sure that goods and services flow smoothly between countries and over borders?
Look, you're talking to the wrong person on that. I don't buy into the right left paradigm, the illusion of it's that's laughable. I mean, it's they each play their role. Nothing's going to change. It doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. I know people that, you know, you talk about politics and religion, you're going to ultimately make somebody mad. I'm not here to make anybody mad. I'm telling you my opinion. My opinion is it doesn't matter. I'm not even going to bother the vote. I don't care. It doesn't matter. They're going to do what they're going to do and push the agenda that they're going to push, and it doesn't matter if they wear a blue hat or a red hat. That's all bullshit.
Now, with the interest rate hike, the stock market, I think this time you can't say there was some other influence there. Clearly didn't like it, probably didn't feel it was necessary. We're carrying record debt in Canada. I'm sure it's the same situation in the U.S. for many people. Do you think they really had to hike rates this high to have an influence on inflation?
No, I don't. Because, listen, by looking at the benchmark of why they raise rates, they follow the three-month T-bill. There's two pieces to the part here that you're saying, or two pieces to the answer. One, data shows, without question, that the Fed follows the three-month T-bill yield, and they move accordingly. You know, now how aggressive they are, how far they let that spread get, that changes through time. And in the post 2009 world, that spread has been a lot tighter. But they still ultimately they follow the T-bill. So the fact that the T-bill yield is rising, they've kind of, you know, the T-bill has bought into the higher rate, and the expectation of higher rates has been factored into the market, and the T-bill yield has risen, okay? And then they have followed that up. Based on that spread and the relationship between the T-bill rate and the discount rate, they've done exactly what they should have done. No question about it. Now, this time they did fall short. You know, typically each raise they've made, they've moved the discount rate right to either right above or just below that T-bill yield. This time they fell further short of that benchmark than with any of these previous five hikes that they've done. So that may be a little bit of a stumble, but as far as their action and what they're doing in raising rates, they're doing exactly what you would expect, you know, based on that relationship throughout the years. But as far as its impact on inflation, I think it only makes matters worse in one respect, because higher interest rates in a weakening economy is not a positive thing. If anything, I would argue that that's even more inflationary, because it drives the cost of everything higher. And so I think it's the opposite of what we're being told.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, how are other markets, commodities, and so on, reacting to these higher interest rates the Fed's imposing, along with the Bank of Canada? And the Bank of England today also hiked their rate. Their central rate is now 3%, and basically they were zero or negative not that long ago.
Well, nothing's changed there in the bigger picture. You know, short term and intermediate term, we're navigating the cycles and done a pretty darn good job of it, actually. But the longer term top in equities, you know, I've said it's in the 4-year cycle top. You know, we expected it. I had indicators back in June of 21. That wrote about, covered extensively in research letters. It suggested we should expect a top within 6 to 8 months. We saw the top in January. And, you know, we've been declining since. And that longer-term setup is in place. There's nothing changed there. I think this is another counter-trend rally in equities. And the same thing with commodities. You know, I started talking about it in April. And right as commodities were at their peak, I started seeing some signs and some of the stuff I look at of a top in commodities, as crazy as that sounded. We've seen weakness ever since. You know, it started, I think, commodities for the most part peaked in June. And we've been down ever since. And again, I think we have a counter trend rally. Or the rally that we're seeing, you know, more recently, I think it's counter trend. And I think the longer term trend is down into the next 3-year cycle low, along with equities, the next 4-year cycle low. And, you know, of course, we're navigating that step by step in the research letters as it unfolds.
Elon Musk, since his takeover of Twitter, at first he said he was going to lay off 75% of his staff. Today he says it's only going to be 50%, but the layoffs start today. Is this a trend that we're seeing across high tech, that they're having layoffs or planning layoffs because profits are down?
I think we're going to see that trend. Yes, I do. I think that's a sign of the economy. You know, the real economic environment that we're in. I talked to a guy, a friend of mine in the traffic industry today. There's some legislation that's been passed, that is going to, impact, the transportation industry and a lot of these federally funded, programs. It goes into effect here in a week or so. How do I say this? It's like there's so many aspects that are affecting the supply chain issues, and ultimately that's what, you know, this is another supply chain issue that he was telling me about. And so as these things come to fruition, or, you know, to pass, if you will, it's just, you know, it just continues to pile up that affects the supply chain. And I talked to a friend overseas with what's going on in Holland and Belgium with the farmers and you know, the farming and the things that they're pushing there. And this is, it all just continues to mount, and it's not positive. It is detrimental to the economy. So yes, I think that is probably a trend that we're going to continue to see.
What's going on with gold? Any big moves there?
You know, down, not, again, it's, you know, the advance we've seen has been counter trend. And, you know, I've said that, you know, the 9-year cycle top there was in. We are moving, I think, into a 9-year cycle low. And maybe in 23 to 24 time frame. And again, that's something I'll be covering as we approach that low. But for now, I still think the overall trend with gold is down, just like the rest of the commodity markets.
Crude oil, are we going to see higher prices this winter?
I'm not seeing it in the charts yet. We've had an intermediate term low and a counter trend rally. And I think, every indication is at this point that we have had, again, that there's a 3-year cycle that is a dominant cycle in commodities. And I think we go down, into that 3-year cycle low. And then now once we get into that low and sometime possibly in 23, and you know, something I'll be watching as we get there. But once I can confirm that low is in place, then, you know, then I think we'll see a more meaningful turn in the commodity markets, and oil included, probably, you know, crude oil, gold and, you know, natural gas and the whole, you know, the whole gamut. But for now, down.
The Trudeau government is considering a tax on stock buybacks. Are stock buybacks a good idea? There used to be a time they were illegal because they were considered stock manipulation. Should stock buybacks be allowed?
You know, and that gets back to the political side of it. In one sense, you know, a company ought to be able to do what they want to do. If they want to buy their stock back, they should be free to buy their stock back. But I do see it, you know, both sides of that coin, and I do see it, and it has been used as a form of manipulation. So, you know, that's a tough call. You know, I mean, how do you slice that? I mean, if you should be able to buy your stock back if you want on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's definitely been a tool. So, I don't know how you make that call. That's a tough one.
Just another tax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And have we ever seen a government, once they put a tax in, ever remove it? Pretty damn
so.
Rare.
Yep, don't think so. I don't know of any.
In BC, it actually happened. They had a recall. They had a harmonized sales tax with the federal sales tax, and enough people in BC voted against it that they took it away. But again, they'll just up taxes in other places that you probably don't see on a bill somewhere. So you still end up paying more. It's just a secret one.
Right. We had a temporary tax passed in this area. Temporary is an additional sales tax. It was going to be temporary. And I don't remember when it was supposed to be up, but it's still there. And like you said, it will probably never go away.
Income tax in Canada was imposed to help pay for the First World War. It was a they said it was a temporary income tax on the highest 5% of income earners only. I think people who get paid minimum wage pay income tax.
Yeah, I think if exactly.
Yeah. Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
No, I guess that's pretty much it. I think the key, you know, with this, the overall setup is with interest rates. I've talked about that, in detail, but, you know, in navigating this and where we stand, you know, like I said, I think I've done a pretty darn good job when you look back at it and what I've said in the research letter. And, if anybody's interested, they can follow it there, but big picture, I don't think this is over by any stretch. I think it's still we're still in the infancy of the setup.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.